The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now, here's Sunjo Gall.
Hello and welcome to the segment on CIO Talk Network. To learn more about, please visit CIOTalkNetwork.com. And as always, we invite you to join the discussion on Twitter. And look for this show as hashtag Chief Data Officer and Chief, and another hashtag is Data Management, which is Data MGMT. Today's topic is State of the Chief Data Officer. And I've got four guests today. It's quite a popular topic. The first guest I have is Allison Say Graves, who's the Chief Data Officer with M&T Bank. Hey, Allison, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. I look forward to this discussion.
Same here. And we also have Kara Deli, Chief Data Officer with Bank of the West. Hi, Kara. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. We have Stuart Gardos, Chief Data Officer, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And how are you, Stu?
I'm doing great. So glad to be here this morning. Thanks for having me.
And finally, Sankar Bala, Flagstar Bank, Troy Center, Michigan. How are you, sir?
Very good. Very good. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. So I've got four rock star CDOs at the table today. And what we wanted to talk about is essentially the journey that you've had in the past. We started a number of years ago. We said, okay, Chief Data Officer is needed, and there's so much data floating around and more coming. How would we do that? So we basically created this role. We started working with the organizations to see if we can create a need for a CDO to come in there. And then when the CDOs do arrive, how do they get the necessary support for them to really make a difference, leveraging the data which is within the organization? So all that happened over the last few years, and then we wanted to see if the learning that has happened, is it really helping every organization which has used a CDO, has really taken it to the next level, whatever the value that they were promising. So we wanted to do this hindsight 2020 learning. That said, the first question that I have, that is for you, Allison. When we are always looking at the Chief Data Officer, we should know that this individual role did not exist in the past, and now we wanted them to make an impact. Would you say that when we use the word data in the CDO, is the ownership lying with the Chief Data Officer, or they are just going to be the custodians, the stewards, or what would they be doing?
So the model that we've implemented is that I'm really the custodian and enabler. In a sense, we have a hub and spoke model. So in the past, we didn't have defined ownership for data, and I think that was a lot of the problems that many companies faced. And so the Chief Data Officer position, I think, was created to kind of galvanize the organization around data and have there be one central point who could help the organization figure out how they're going to, you know, deal with data. So what we've done is we've established an ownership framework where we've taken different business lines and assigned the ownership of data out to the respective business lines. So I work in a hub and spoke model with those business lines to set central policies, frameworks, and so forth. But the business lines are responsible for the data and they work in concert with us. So I think that's a fairly standard model. I think that's fairly standard practice now in the industry. So I'd be interested to hear from some of my colleagues to see if that's how they've organized their data.
So, Kara, would you have any thoughts on this?
Yes, we have a very similar model here at Bank of the West. So our data organization has come through the regulatory initiatives focusing on finance, risk, and treasury. Now, it doesn't mean to say that our lines of business are not very involved. They are very involved. We are developing that ownership model, that framework that Allison mentioned. And I think one of the things that we have strived to do is encourage that engagement with the line of business, having them understand, you know, what does this stewardship really mean? What does it mean when I own data and when I certify? So I think we're along the same lines, Allison, in terms of, you know, developing that ownership framework, having the stewardship and the data ownership within the lines of business. It's still evolving for us at Bank of the West, but I think we're on the right track.
Stu, so based on the responses from both Allison and Kara, so there is a flavor of ownership and or stewardship that exists or being a custodian. Now, traditionally, the data always belonged to the business unit where it came from. And logically, if I was to sit outside, objectively look at it, it is the business data. This individual and their team are essentially coming and saying, okay, let us help make sense of that data. Is that where you would say the CDO's role should fall after all these number of years, so whatever you've done with it?
So this is Allison. I would say that while the business may have owned the data, they didn't necessarily have a framework. They didn't exactly have necessarily, and this may be different in different companies, but they didn't necessarily have consistent practices to what ownership actually means. So we've now defined in very specific terms, what does it mean to own data? There's certain care and feeding and governance that's required, measuring of quality that's now done in consistent ways across our entire enterprise, you know, versus having people own things and treat them in different ways across different silos. So I think while ownership may have occurred in organizations at the business unit level, I think the value that a CDO brings is bringing a framework of capabilities to enable the organization to manage data in a standard way.
So, Stu, the question for you would be is, I, as a business unit leader, want to own it. And then there is another business unit leader who would say, I own certain amount of data. There is a cross-pollination, or I would rather there's some commonality, some workflow data that's also getting generated. Then that is not owned by any individual business unit per se. So where are you coming? Where are you saying, okay, this is yours, and this is what I'm going to handle?
It's a great question and stuff that we've been thinking about for a long time. Two decades ago, we decided that we needed to integrate and unite all of our data sets into one EDW. And long ago, we established the concept of data custodians. So you would have a subject matter expert, a custodian of pathology data or surgery data. And there is a sense of ownership from those departments that, yes, this is our data. And what we've been able to succeed at MSK is We have been able to sell the idea that we need to integrate all the data, and where I've come in and really where my role has evolved as a CDO is to say, look, we will govern the data, we will curate the data, we will only provide data sets in which we have authorizations and, you know, gone through all the custodianship, governanceship. And what we ended up doing is we've convinced each of the subject matter experts that, look, all the data really doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the enterprise. And as the CDO and my team, we're able to curate that information and to deliver it and to integrate it. And there's a lot of power in terms of having the data all integrated into one world. And it's been a long journey. You know, it's a subject matter by subject matter type of journey. But we've been able to convince, across the enterprise that really it's not an ownership of the data per department, but it's really an enterprise solution that we're trying to solve. And we've gotten buy-in from, you know, pretty much all the departments we've been working with throughout the years.
Sankar, when I come to you, I have this question about all the cumulative, the thoughts that have been shared by the three other guests. We talk about ownership. Ownership could mean that if I own it, I will do whatever I want to do with it. I would like to interpret the way I believe it should be interpreted. if we are bringing chief data officer, is the CDO getting the opportunity to fundamentally rethink what should the ownership be like and how the data which is being shared should be interpreted?
No, it's not the CDO's responsibility. The linchpin of data management and the key responsibility of the chief data officer is data governance. Now, ensure that all the data is governed and the data quality is ensured. The data governance piece can be handled by categorizing the data and prioritizing. You know, what is the critical data for the enterprise? Collect this set of data that is agreed by the whole enterprise, and then assign for each individual critical data element who is going to be the data owner. Who's going to be which business unit is going to own it? Who's going to be the data steward? Who are the consumers of the data? If you establish this traceability and lineage, then you can very easily arbitrate any case and answer any question. So if you have a corporate data dictionary and it says, hey, unpaid principal balance is defined as, and here's the origination unit, the business loan origination unit is the owner of that particular data definition. And then here is finance and risk. Those are the main consumers of this data. Then you have established the traceability, the ownership, and then you have also introduced the consumer and the producer of the data. That is how we have tackled here at Flagstar, how we do that.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. When we come back, let's look at the overall organization's data infrastructure and the governance that was taken on by the CDO, and how have you rethought what it should look like? Because there was some legacy information available. There was a data infrastructure somehow, a duct tape and shoestring type, if that's what it was. What changes do you think, because of the introduction of CDO in an organization, what incremental improvement or for that matter, a revamp that has been created to justify, yes, we need a CDO not only for now, but going forward? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with Sanjo Gal. To learn more about our program, please visit CIOTalkNetwork.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. So, Kara, if you were to, suppose whenever you came to this organization, and this is, I'm talking about your organization first,
right,
and maybe you can take example for other organizations where you've seen CDOs coming in, what mm-hmm. did you see was the state of the organizational's data infrastructure and the way they were governing data versus the changes with your coming in, bringing your team along has brought about, so that we can say, okay, this is where the difference comes?
Okay, great. You know, when I joined Bank of the West, and I've been here for almost 2 years now. Data architecture was starting to become a focal point. We had a finance data warehouse, and we were starting to think about how were we going to enable that for the enterprise. So, you know, my role coming in was very focused on regulatory activities, which meant we needed to acquire and source large volumes of data. We needed to understand the quality of that data, the lineage. And so we embarked not only on a data governance journey, but also on building out a more enterprise data asset. And so, you know, I think from the organizational perspective, one of the things that we brought to the table in partnership with IT, and I know this is the CIO Talk Network, is we really developed a team that worked very closely with technology. So within our organization and kind of the data management arm of my group, we have these folks that have this special skill set where they understand the system architecture coming from loan origination platforms, loan servicing platforms, but they also understand how commercial loans need to be treated. And that skill set partnered with the technology professional that's building, say, ETL or building out capabilities within the EDW, I think that was something that was very special. And you know, it always comes down to people, right? So I think that's one of the things that our organization brought to the table. Secondly, I think what we also did is we started to enable more fluid data governance, meaning as we're building out this capability within our enterprise data warehouse for these regulatory initiatives, we were also standing up this governance organization that was looking at how these teams were working together, this IT and data team was working together in these small groups, and governing that and ensuring that the lines of business had a say in how we were mapping this information within the EDW. So I think, you know, to summarize, coming back, some of the, you know, two of the main critical points in which I think are successes for us from a CDO, from a chief data officer point of view, was we enabled that team building between IT and data for that data management, that data sourcing activity, plus we started to build out those data governance activities, ensuring that there was connection between the two.
Stuart, if you were to look at the ramp-up time that's needed for the CDO and their team to understand how the business works, what's the workflow like, which essentially is understood by the CIO's organization, but then now you're coming in, and in order for you to make sense of the data, rethink how it can be utilized, you got to acquire all that knowledge. So do you get a download from the CIO's group, or you say, you know what, we need a fresh perspective on what it is so that we don't make the same mistakes that may have been made in the past? And if you do say this, you have a long ramp-up time. Does the organization have that patience, that much of patience, before you can show results?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we're a little unique at MSK. I actually report to the CIO myself, so I have worked side-by-side with the CIO for a decade, and it was a collaboration between CIO and COO and execs in which the CDO position became to be at MSK. So we've been very tightly coupled with information systems. My team is very data-centric. We have a group of data heads who have over the years learned the enterprise-wide data world, but we also have a combination of being tech-savvy. So we have a very, you know, obviously because we report to the CIO, we're talking to the server admins, and we're probably more technical than most other CDO teams, but we wear a couple of hats there. We've got the data expertise, and we've got the technical expertise within MSK. And what we've been able to try to do from a challenge perspective is we have a lot of other groups across the enterprise who are building mini data groups, mini IT groups. And I think because we're centrally located in information systems, which is how MSK is structured, we've been able to bring everybody together in a community feel, with a collaborative feel. And I think it's just, again, unique to most CDOs that are out there today, But it's something to ponder, though, for other organizations who are considering going to the CDO direction, because there's a tight coupling between technology and data, and having those two linked is very important, as you're saying, because I would think, you know, and the other panelists can speak to it, bringing in a CDO who's not working with a CDO might have that longer ramp-up time. So our ramp-up time sort of evolved over the years, but it really, once the CDO position was established, there was really no hiccups in terms of taking a big step back and rethinking things. We've been really evolving this way over the years.
So, Stu, your response is great. Now, coming to you, Sankar, if you were to look at most CDO organizations or the chief data officer when they're brought in, it's very, very, Stu's case is very unique, because most places they say, oh, CDO cannot be, you know, reporting to the CIO, because then their exposure to what data is floating around and what other value they can bring would be grossly undermined. And then if you don't do it, then you have a very long ramp-up time. So how do you eat the cake and have it too? Sankar.
Okay. So where should the CDO sit in the organization? That's what it boils down to, right? I have seen the CDO role reporting to the chief risk officer, to the chief operating officer, and then now, in my case, I am reporting to the CIO, just like what Stu said. I think it does not matter. What matters is communication. Are you communicating with your information technology peers in the right way? And are you communicating with your business customers, the line of business executives, at the same time? The CDOs are kind of the business liaison to the technology teams. And you have to be joined at the hip with the CIO organizations. And at the same time, you should be responsive to the business unit's needs and balancing the long-term delivery with the short-term low-hanging fruits. When you talk with the business units, you realize that there are things that you can quickly do using the information technology organization to get business benefits. You should be listening for those frequencies. And then at the same time, you need to have a good strategy, a data strategy that includes people, processes, and technology. If you have this, I think the point about whether you have to be in the business units, should you be in the CIO's organization, is a moot point if you do these things right.
Okay, Sankar, I take that and go back to Allison. So, Allison, you've joined the organization in this current role, I'd say around a year ago.
Yeah.
And so what have you been doing? Have you been, building relationships in order for you to get the ramp up, necessary time for the ramp up? How are you fixing the issues that I raised in this questions related to relationship with CIO or working with the CIO to get the necessary ramp up time?
So it's interesting because I've been with M&T for a number of years, and I know there was an interest in having somebody take this position, and I think there was some debate about, oh, should we hire a technical person from the outside that brings in external skills? And I think what was recognized is that this, in effect, is a change management role. It's about changing the culture to think about data in new ways, educating leadership, educating the businesses about data and, why they need to care about lineage, why they need to care about data quality, and what capabilities we need to create. So I think I was welcomed into this role because, first of all, I was known in the organization as somebody who had led change initiatives before, and I think one of the most critical things for a CDO is to be a good communicator, to make everything real, to make it very business focused, and to communicate in such a way that it's, you know, you hear a lot about data is storytelling. You know, why should the business care? You know, give them examples of data quality that will surprise them. Profile some of their data, show it to them and say, did you realize that, you know, we have birth dates that are wrong, you know, on some of our systems, and you quickly get their attention. So, you know, I think that putting somebody in the role, there's different perspectives on this, but in some organizations, I think it's effective to put somebody in the role who's really more of a change agent and can help really galvanize the organization around data and educate them. That's really the role that I've been taking, and I think that that's been successful in our culture. People really get it. They understand the value, and we've delivered some quick wins in terms of identifying some data quality issues that we've been able to resolve and put in we've developed a roadmap over the next 18 to 24 months, but it's got clear deliverables, you know, through the life cycle of that roadmap, so people don't have to wait until, you know, the end of the rainbow for something to be delivered.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And Kara, I'd like to present a scenario that happened with the CIOs in many cases where they said they have a 4-year or less type of a tenure in a company, and it's not that they are the ones who like to defect very quickly. It's just that the amount of time it takes for you to come in, understand what the needs are, see that there is a mess or less of a mess, and fix that, and then once you're done, you're bored and you move on. Now, what's going to happen with the CDO? Because if you say that you have a problem with data, when you come in, of course, it's not going to be perfect. Or maybe they have not even thought about a data strategy, etc. So you come in there, you kind of learn the business, you build a team, become the custodian for a little while, clean it up. But then what? Is this something, a role which should be long-term, or people should be handing over the baton to someone else because they would be done cleaning up? Or there is something else which is not clear in terms of how much effort it's needed in upfront and then how much on a regular basis for the organization to truly harness the data? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Tune in every week for the Ellis Martin Report. Our program will bring you the news and information that you need each week. We look at publicly traded small and mid-cap companies from a variety of sectors. We'll talk to key people in the industry to bring you the foreground and background of new and up-and-comers for potential investment. Please remember, invest only at your own risk. The Ellis Martin Report is meant for informational purposes only. Tune in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to CTN CIO Talk Network with Sunjo Gall. Now, back to the show.
Kara, so 4-year or less tenure or maybe longer, but if you come in almost wearing a consultant's hat, bringing a team along or building a team, fixing whatever problems you have, then you could be bored. What does the tenure of a typical CDO look like, and what are they supposed to do, and what time should they think that, okay, either they move to a bigger or different role within the organization so that everyone who's there in that particular position is able to incrementally create value? Or maybe CDO comes, does the job, and then there is no CDO role because whatever you had to do is done.
That's an interesting question. You know, from what I've experienced at Bank of the West and from prior roles that I've had, you know, I look at the role, regardless of CDO or what have you, and I see a journey ahead of myself, and I say, okay, what are we going to make of this? And so from a CDO perspective, I think a lot of us have been placed in these roles because there was a specific set of needs by the enterprise, by the business, sometimes to partner better with technology, sometimes to, you know, enable better governance. And I really think that in the first maybe year or year 18 months of the role, you're really in there potentially rescuing a situation, building out, you know, a roadmap, making sure that you're doing a benchmarking of where your capabilities currently stand, and then where do you want to go. I think it's important that that CDO shows that measurable progress, saying I'm going to work on these particular priorities that are a benefit to the business, and then really develop that roadmap. Now, to get to your question around 4 years, I think that the CDO role can be a sustainable long-term role, but it's what that CDO makes of that role. So we want to ensure that, one, you're rescuing the situation. There was absolutely a need to put a CDO in place. Then it's about building out those data capabilities. I think data analytics and business intelligence is an area where the data officer can really champion self-service, all of that. And then also talk more, you know, enable more data governance. I think that is an area where you're going to have a longer-term roadmap. But then get to the point, and I think that's where the industry is going, is get to the deriving value out of the data that you're governing and managing for the institution, and really saying, okay, data is an asset. It's a strategic asset. We can make better decisions off of it. How do we service our customer better? Can we get a 360 view of the customer? And I think that, you know, going from I'm rescuing a situation, I'm building out these immediate need capabilities, to building out more strategic plans around, you know, servicing your customers better, understanding your customers better, knowing how a prospect can become a customer, and really helping the sales and marketing side of the house, I think that can give you a longer term runway. Now, it's not to say that we don't have succession plans for our CDOs. I think that there's plenty of runway for that CDO to go into different areas, but I also think it can be a long-term position at an institution.
Stu, if I were to say the CDO's team and the CDO themselves, they are a cost or a cost of doing business? And if we are saying we want to be cost of doing business, that means anything that we do, yes, initially cleanup may be important, but then eventually it should turn out to be something which will get us the revenue or the top line growth, or it should create some sort of a competitive advantage. Is that what the focus is when you're brought in into a CEO's room and say, guy, this is what you got to get done?
I mean, this is Allison. I can say that we view this as a, it's not fundamentally a cost of doing business. I mean, there are aspects of the job that are a cost of doing business, but if we can't extract value out of data, you know, we're doing something wrong. So initially we've got, like other banks, we've got the defense aspect where we're shoring up some regulatory things. But moving on from that, there's incredible efficiencies to be gained by centralizing data, having one source of the truth, decommissioning systems, the savings from that, eliminating manual processes. So we're actually creating a data scorecard that we're going to share with our governance structure to be able to demonstrate the value, the actual bottom line value of having this organization. So I think if you think of it as a cost, then you probably don't have the right mindset about the value that data can bring. So there's the efficiency play, and then you know, as Kara mentioned, there's the whole world of analytics and innovation that I think the CDOs are in a great position to be able to champion and to help drive an insight-oriented culture. So I think there's tremendous upside from a financial perspective, and if you don't go into the job thinking that, then I think we're really under-delivering on what the potential is for this role.
So, Stuart, given that this is the state of the chief data officer, that means we are. So, Allison, well said what you just mentioned. Is this being practiced? Do you see that you're able to go back to your CIO or CEO and say, look, our team actually delivered competitive advantage. Our team brought these new ways of doing business or figuring out how we can create new revenue streams, et cetera, which will essentially make everyone proud that, yes, this was an investment versus just an efficiency play.
Yes, Sanjay, that's just a great question, and that's really the bottom line in terms of what inspires me to come to work every day, you know, for all these years. And for us at MSK, you know, we're a cancer hospital, and our bottom line, you know, is obviously we're a business, but where my team really excels at is really helping patients in terms of their care, getting them on research studies. And what my team has been able to demonstrate over the years is how do we collaborate with a researcher in order to identify patients for clinical trials using data. So because we have this vast amount of data, we've been able to come up with solutions that have put MSK above all other institutions in terms of being able to accrue patients to genomic trials or immunotherapy trials, things like that. And that's the sort of value add that we're getting. Sometimes it's hard to measure with dollars and cents, but when you have the top researchers in your hospital present, you know, going across the world saying, because of this team that is under Stu, we're able to get more patients onto trial, save lives, and you know, and that really, from my perspective, is what made me, you know, happy to come to work for the past 20 years. Having said that, you know, there's always the ROI that comes from the COO side, and we're doing a lot, you know, especially recently in terms of how are we making data more valuable to the institution in terms of saving resources, saving time, saving FTEs. So a lot of our efforts in the last 2 years especially have been to demonstrate how, whereas we used to have 5 to 10 RSAs that needed to manually look through charts to get information, we can now automate those processes and save 3, 4, 5, 50 positions. So there's really two sides of the coin from my perspective as the CDO of MSK.
So Bala, when we look at the execution, so this is great that there is a potential and there are some results that organizations are getting when they are getting the CDO to help develop the top line growth or some sort of a competitive advantage. But there are many other execution related challenges because CDO doesn't really own any business process. And if they want to have that changed, I bring some data to a business unit leader and say, okay, this is what's happening and this is what the change you have to bring about. So are these the ones who are just supposed to show the data and wait, twiddle their thumbs while the business goes and makes the change and then show the results? Because they are going to be rewarded based on the final results and not that how great an analytics report looked like.
Right. So when it comes to data, it is bringing the organizational awareness. So it is not you bring up something to a particular business unit and wait for them to act on it. It's the other way. You are the facilitator. You bring different business units together, which are operating as silos. And you, since you are the centralized data management practice, you facilitate a meeting or facilitate the knowledge flow between different business units so that one business unit knows what the other business unit is doing and what's different and what's same. So you are the facilitator. So from the beginning to the end of whatever business question that you are trying to answer, the CDO and the organization, CDO's organization, is engaged. You are at each step as a CDO, you know more about, let's say you are engaging three business units, you know, a line of business, loan origination, finance, and risk. Individually, whatever they know, you know much more than that. That is where the synergy comes. So at each step of the process, you facilitate and you regurgitate what they said, but then now they have more knowledge about the enterprise than just their silo organization. And that is how you contribute your value instead of, you know, just highlighting something and just twiddling the thumb. You are involved in the business processes across the enterprise, not just in the individual department, but across the enterprise.
Interesting. So, Allison, given a scenario where you know more, than any of the business units combined. And so you gain credibility and respect among them. But then when you say, okay, this is great, I've told you or I've shared with you what we could be doing differently, and then you want them to push ahead, do you think you are able to, based on that credibility, bring about change, or are there other skills and competencies or other sponsorships that you need in order for you to see the end result? Because just you being an advisor is not going to justify the cost of a CDO and their organization in the company.
So first, I think I might question, do I know more? I think what I have is a broader perspective on the enterprise's data from a holistic standpoint. The business obviously knows its own data in its area better. But what the CDO has is the macro picture. And I think what the CDO, I mean, if you keep up with industry practices and you see like what's out there, you know, certainly there are the you know, web-based companies that have data built into their cultures, Google, Facebook, and so forth. But, you know, to companies where that may not have always been the case, you know, one of the roles that I see is, you know, being really understanding what's out on the market. There are a lot of very interesting data-focused targeted solutions around things like risk, supply chain management, HR, pricing. I can help facilitate bringing that to the business and showing how we can use data, the data that we're aggregating across silos into a central warehouse, you know, the value that that can bring when we, you know, partner with other providers who can bring us very interesting solutions that can solve problems that we weren't able to solve before. So I think that I think that we can help accelerate innovation by being advocates and being knowledgeable about the trends in the industry and having good networks of people, you know, across the data ecosystem externally and bringing those solutions to our own companies. So I see that sort of role of that's leadership and that's advocacy and that's helping provide solutions to the business. So I see this as we're here to help, we're here to enable, we're not here to own, but we're here to help, enable, and drive. That's how I see it.
So, Kara, one is to be going into a meeting and or talking to your business unit leaders to say, whatever you have today, this is what, based on what we collected and analyzed, this is what it looks like. And then you say, okay, these are the trends, the macro picture, and gain credibility, et cetera. But then there are many other things that have to be fundamentally changed as a result of your analysis, which could mean the way the data gets created, the kind of definitions that were created or standards. And that requires a fundamental shifting of how a business is operating or how they are generating data or sharing data within their business unit. Now, that requires you literally to be not exactly taking over, but working very closely with the business unit leader. And that business unit leader will say, for years I have been doing whatever I've done. I understand the value of CDO giving me the macro picture and how I can talk to other people. But why am I supposed to go and change fundamentally what I even did at a business process level, which allowed me to generate data in a certain way? Because the work has been working, the work was happening.
Right. I think that's an interesting question. I think that's something that we discuss internally quite often. It's the old adage of garbage in, garbage out. So when we're looking at these business processes and we're at the tail end of the process, consuming the, you know, data for integration and ensuring good quality, we can see that there's problems upstream. And we can understand that changing business process, even changing behavior, is going to be very difficult in an institution as large as ours at Bank of the West, and even larger institutions. So really, you know, what the CDO organization can do is work with those lines of business and really work with the folks that understand how each hop on the data journey happens, and are there opportunities for us to go in and simplify processes? You know, let's face the reality. There's always going to be manual touch points. you know, a complete straight-through processing is the CDO dream, but that's not reality. And what we need to figure out as an organization is how do we simplify these processes? How do we reduce the amount of hops that data takes? Because the more hops you have, the more quality issues you have. And, you know, to get back to your question, it's working with those business lines to really, business line heads, to really understand this is actually your data journey, and these are the decisions we're making off your data, and here's a picture of your data quality. We want to help you start to streamline some of these things because we can improve it. Now, I think Bank of the West has done a great job, especially in the last 2 years, in terms of, you know, remediating a lot of this, implementing more automation. And I think, you know, as with many institutions, we still have a way to go, but we do have, you know, a commitment to a simpler way of moving data throughout the organization and ensuring good quality. We finally have pictures of our data quality and what it really means. And you know, also, we have a remediation loop. So it's not just, okay, we've found some bad stuff, and, you know, this is how bad it is. We can show, you know, our functional heads and lines of business. We can say, let's work with you to fix this through our governance practice. We have a working group that's very focused on just data remediation, and we really strive to help them with, you know, automation, business process improvement, you know, as the data goes through its journey. So I think that's really where we're at.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Stu, the question for you will be when we come back is governance, continuous quality improvement. Many of these things are seen as cost traditionally or also an overhead. And CDO is saying that before I can show you the results, I got to go and clean the house across the board and do some deep cleaning, which will require us to put the money up front. God bless, how will we get that funding? Because there is no sign of a hard ROI. So if I were to say the hard ROI of CDO's in you know, introduction and the effort that they put in, if you don't have that, you don't have the business case. And if you don't have the business case, nobody's going to fund it. How do you get over that hurdle? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Get a unique and playful insider's take on the biggest stories in tech, media, and entertainment. Join Laurie H. Schwartz, well-known technology catalyst, comedian, and geek girl, as she and leading experts in the media and content business dive into the biggest stories in technology trends, consumer behaviors, and its impact on Hollywood. If you're looking to respond to the tech-fueled changes in the marketplace, then tune in to the Tech Cat Show, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Business and syndicated to Voice America Women's Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CTN CIO Talk Network with Sunjo Gall. Now, back to the show.
So, Stu, million-dollar question for you. How do you get the money from, how do you bell the cat and get money for things which are governance, continuous improvement type of promises?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sunjo, and something I deal with every year during budget season. But we've been fortunate at MSK. We've had support from the top, you know, in terms of building an EDW team, building a data delivery team, and essentially moving towards the model of you know, putting a CDO in place. So we've been fortunate, you know, in terms of the funding, but over the years, you know, we have had to demonstrate the worth of the team. And the worth of the team is demonstrated based on how we've helped the operations, how we've helped the physicians, how we've helped the researchers over the years. As I mentioned before, it's a little hard to quantify specific ROIs because a lot of the benefits we bring are more intangible. We're helping patients, we're helping docs, When we have physician champions who are going to our CEO and board, saying and presenting how the deliverables that are coming from the CDO team are helping their job and make their journey easier, that's really the justification we get that allows the executives at MSK to say, you know, we really need to build this team more because they're adding so much value, with regards to all the intangibles that we're describing. So a little different use case than dollars and cents, but we've been able to demonstrate over the years, and, you know, our team has, you know, gone from one or two to now upwards of 15, and we're also like a central cog in terms of pulling other teams together. So I think community building and bringing people together and justifying, being able to justify all the great things that we're doing has really demonstrated that worth of my team to the leadership at MSK.
Sankar, if you were to look at what CDO has to truly deliver at the end of the day, is that macro picture with clean data, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of background or work that needs to be done. A lot of digging needs to be done. And before you are able to say, okay, this is what we can produce, which will help the organization go forward, it could take much longer. We are living in a day and age where we have to fail small, fail fast. What do you do in terms of showing the quick wins in your space as a CDO, unlike a CIO or any others who can have a small project, show some results, and life is good? Allison, why don't you take it?
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. So I was just in a meeting this morning. We have 12 to 18 month project to enhance our data warehouse, and we realize that we can't wait to deliver value in 18 months. So we're deliberately building in milestones that will deliver quick wins to different business units, give them access to data that they didn't have all aggregated in a central source as a trusted source. So I think that when you design projects, you have to design them with with shorter cycles and shorter deliveries of value to the business. And also there's a testing and learning that goes on when you operate in that manner, so that you're not building something and then you find out, 18 months from now you didn't build what you intended. So I think you have to be very focused on, keeping it real, keeping it business focused, engaging the business, making sure you're delivering to them something that's going to create value for them. You talk a lot about the monetization of what we're doing and the cost of these organizations, but when you find data quality issues, you can uncover significant opportunities for lost revenue, many different, we've seen scenarios where having some data wrong is causing the bank to lose money. So, I mean, there's definitely ways that you can demonstrate before you even get into the realm of analytics, which I think shows great promise. There's a lot of ways that you can show the value of the work being done. It's not just, taking care of data as a cost. It's really enabling the bank to operate more efficiently, with more confidence about its data, and enabling us to make decisions in a much smarter way and derive insights that we never had the capacity to do.
Kara, if I were to look at any organization today, they while would love to have that clean, pristine approach to how data is existing and how the whole organization is tightly integrated, but that also takes away the nimble and the agile organizational level that we want to have so that we can react quickly to the market. Do you think by introducing CDO, we slow down the organization and because there's a requirement for us to integrate, or is there a way to stay nimble, react quickly, and still have that pristine state? Because pristine state can only be achieved when you have things stable. And frankly, most organizations and the marketplace is not stable.
Mm. I think that's an interesting question, especially the follow-on to what Allison was talking about in terms of, giving deliverables that are early on from a capability standpoint. the CDO organization, while we are instituting governance and controls along the way, we want to also make sure that we can have an agile process to make sure that we have that flexibility so that we can continue to do great business with our customers, continue to service them as we have great relationships with them, but also make sure that we're protecting them. And so, you know, as we build out our data strategy, we're looking, similar to Allison, to give, you know, interim capabilities and making sure that we can continue to move fast while we continue to have a good quality and control environment around data. So I think it's a balance. It's never easy. But I think if you have the right focus and if you have the right change agents, I think you're on your way to making sure that you can strike that balance and be more flexible.
All right. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, all four of you, the top rockstar CDOs that I had on the show today, Allison, Kara, Stuart, and Bala, for sharing your thoughts on what's the state of the Chief Data Officer today as we speak, and also what is the value that they can bring and are bringing to the organizations. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, please like us on Facebook, search for CIO Talk Network. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and do join our LinkedIn group. Thank you again for listening to this segment on CIO Talk Network. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CTN, CIO Talk Network, with your host, Sanjog Gall. To learn more about our program or for show archives, comments, or questions, please visit CIOTalkNetwork.com. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.